You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
No doubt you've attended a church service at some time or other. Maybe you go to church every Sunday. Maybe you go only on Christmas and Easter. Maybe you don't go even that often. But most of you have probably attended church at some time or other. And when you've gone to church, did you ever find yourself simply going through the motions? Now, going through the motions can be a harmless thing. For example, sometimes I'm sitting in the family room watching the weather forecast on the television. My wife, Diane, calls out from the kitchen, "What's the weather going to be like tomorrow?" I don't know. Guess I wasn't paying attention. Going through the motions can be harmless. After all, I can stick my head out the door tomorrow and find out what the weather is. But there are times when it's dangerous to go through the motions. When I think of all the situations in life that can be harmful because you're not attentive, I can't think of anything more dangerous than to go absent-mindedly through the motions of a church service. We've probably all done that. If you're one who goes to church often, I'm sure there are times when your mind is someplace else and you're just going through the motions. If you're one who only goes to church now and then, you may go through the motions because that's what they do in church. Why they do it, you may not know, but they do it, and the thing to do when you go to church is to go through the motions. Whatever your church attendance has been in the past, frequent worshiper or an infrequent worshiper, I want to tell you that we all miss so much. Oh, we miss so very, very much when we simply go through the motions at church. For example, suppose you're upset with someone in your family. You're quarreling. You go to church with those bad feelings. You go through the motions of church, the singing, the prayers, the sermon. Since you only went through the motions, you leave church just as upset as when you came. Now, does that make any sense? Church is not a place for hatred to brood. Church is about God, who shows us our sins against Himself and against one another, and then gives us the forgiveness won by Christ, a forgiveness that reconciles us with God and can reconcile us to one another. We miss such a great opportunity to increase the love in our families when we brood and go through the motions of church, rather than hearing God's love for us and our love for one another. I found in my own life that family quarrels never last beyond Sunday worship. The hymns, the prayers, the sermon, they help to calm family strife. So what sense does it make simply to go through the motions of church? Another example, let's say that you're getting along fine with your family, but you're besieged by other problems, health problems, financial problems, work problems, whatever. You're worried. You have little peace of mind. So you go to church, but you go through the motions, fretting over your problems more than paying attention to the service. Then you go home, still fretting, still anxious, still having no peace. Tell me, does that make any sense? Church is about God, who calls you by name and says, "I'm going to be with you in these problems. I'll turn your problems into blessings. I'm not only your God, I'm also the one who can save you. I can give you a peace that passes all understanding." Speaking personally, I cannot begin to count all the times when God's word in worship comforted me in my problems. So what sense does it make simply to go through the motions of church? A third example of going through the motions in church and wasting a precious opportunity to help yourself. Why go to church if you're not going to improve your life? Efforts at improving life do not save you. You're saved by grace and not by works. But in our daily life, we still commit sins. Why would you go to church and then leave church with no resolve to lead a more God-pleasing life in the coming week? That doesn't make any sense to me. The God who saves us by grace is a God whose word conforms us more and more to the image of His Son. God's word is a powerful thing. It changes hearts. It changes attitudes. It changes conduct. With the word, you can examine how you've lived the past week. You can confess your sins and receive the free and complete forgiveness of Christ. And you can learn and be enabled to improve your life in the coming week. Our society is on a self-improvement binge. There's no better way for your life to improve than to let God change you through His Word. So again, what sense does it make simply to go through the motions of church and not become a better Christian? You can tell that I'm a firm believer in going to church. I'm one of those people who is there almost every time the bell rings. There are many reasons for that, but I'm going to tell you now what has been the greatest incentive for me to worship attentively and regularly in church. That reason is comfort. Through the years, I've found that attentive worship makes the church pew one of the most comfortable places in the world. It's not the only comfortable place. I'll say more about that in a moment. But for me, attentiveness has made the church pew the most comfortable of many comfortable places in my life. Doesn't matter if a pew is old or new. Doesn't matter if it has a comfortable cushion or an uncomfortable straight wooden back. Doesn't matter if it's a traditional pew or, as some new churches have, a folding chair or a cushioned theater seat. What matters is that there God comforts me, an attentive sinner. When you're attentive, you too can hear comfort. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. Why shouldn't worship be just as comfortable for you? If you're not a regular worshiper, it may be that you're not alert to your need for real comfort. Certainly you have your problems and a life that needs improvement, but you have something more worrisome, more troubling, something that needs your immediate and urgent attention. You have your sins against the majestic and holy God. Think of your sins this past week. If you can't think of any, then maybe you've been going through the motions of this religion. Now, you and I can survive when we daydream during a weather report, but no one survives who only goes through the motions when it comes to the holy and majestic God. Pay attention once to the commandments. How much did you pray this week? How many times did you read the Bible for God's guidance? Did you show honor to parents, elders, and authorities? Did you continue this past week to nurse a grudge? Did you do anything that weakened a marriage, yours or someone else's? Did you work hard, or did you cut corners? When you spoke about other people, did you put the best construction on everything? And was God the most important person in your life this week, more important even than your own self? Now, if that series of questions didn't touch a raw nerve, you're either a perfect person or you think you are. If that series of questions made you uncomfortable, good. That means you're in touch with reality. That means you're not simply going through the motions of listening to this message. Comfort. That's what this message is about. That's what every worship service should be about. Church shouldn't be like the cloakroom. When I went to grade school back in Chicago Heights, every classroom in the old school had a cloakroom. If you weren't behaving, you were hauled back into the cloakroom for a special session with the Board of Education. God doesn't want church to be a cloakroom. He wants it to be a place where you are alerted to your sins so that you might be comforted by His forgiveness in Jesus Christ. In the days of the Old Testament, the priests sacrificed animals for the sins of the people. Those sacrifices really didn't take away sins. Rather, they pointed ahead to the one perfect sacrifice who would remove your sins once and for all. That perfect sacrifice is Jesus Christ, the Son of God who was sacrificed once and for all on Calvary's cross. You, please pay attention. This is no time to be going through the motions. You have committed no sin that has not been fully paid for and forgiven by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Isaiah chapter 1 says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah chapter 43 says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Psalm 51 says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Your every sin has been forgiven. That's something to hear attentively. Why let yourself be distracted by problems when your greatest problem has been solved by Jesus and announced to you? As Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So when you pay attention, church won't be an unwelcome cloakroom, and the pew won't hurt like the Board of Education. Yes, the church is the place where we are reminded of our sins. Yes, the law must be preached and sins must be discussed. A true and faithful preacher of the Scriptures will not be a simple Reverend Feelgood. A little squirming in the pew is necessary. But that discomfort should be only temporary. It should give way to the message of comfort. God's law yields to God's gospel. Talk of punishment gives way to talk of forgiveness. Talk about the terrors of hell are replaced by God's rescuing you from hell to the joys of heaven. A minister who is true to the Bible will talk of God's just and righteous anger, but will find his greatest delight in telling you that God's just and righteous anger at your sins was satisfied by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, and now the final word for your attentive ears is forgiveness. A worship service like that, a service faithful to the Bible, makes the church pew on Sunday morning a comfortable place to be. But it's not the only comfortable place. I've been preaching for 20 years, and whenever I talk about church attendance, someone gets offended. Someone will say, I'm sick. I can't go to church. Someone else will say, I'm old and weak. I can't go. Still another person will say, I could go if only I had a way to get there. I understand that. I'm a pastor of the gospel. I'm not a supervisor of the cloakroom. If you're sick, if you're weak, if you have no transportation, then of course you can't get to church. I know that. That's why I always considered it a high priority to visit my members who couldn't get to church. I hope your minister does the same for you if you can't get to worship services. That's why I said earlier in this message that the church pew is one of the most comfortable of all places. It's not the only comfortable place. There are others. Like the seat you're in right now as you listen to the Lutheran Hour. Like the chair you sit in when your minister comes to visit and have a devotion with you. Like the place where you sit for your daily devotion, your time with the Bible and prayer. These too are comfortable places. Be they in your home, in a retirement apartment, in a prison, in a nursing facility, in a hospital. These are places where God comforts you with the word of His forgiveness in Christ for all of your sins. Of all these comfortable places, attentive Christians through the years have found the church pew to be the dearest. Now, there's another complaint I get whenever I urge church attendance. Pastor Meyer, you make it sound like going to church is what saves you. All you have to do is show up. Doesn't matter how you live during the week. Doesn't matter what's in your heart. Ah, come on now. You haven't been paying attention to everything I've been saying. It should be clear by now that when I encourage church attendance, I'm not talking about merely going through the motions. I'm talking about a heartfelt attention to the law and the gospel. I'm talking about God's real comfort to listening sinners, not the false comfort that some smug people get because they cooperate with gravity and hold down a church pew for an hour. That false comfort is well described in Isaiah chapter 1. In Old Testament times, the people of Israel practiced their religion with regular sacrifices. They also had special holy days, like the Sabbath and the new moon. They had special assemblies and convocations. They had prayer. Many people in the time of the prophet Isaiah were simply going through those motions. They weren't paying attention to the fact that sacrifices and festivals were about their sins that needed forgiveness. They weren't alert to the promises that God was going to send them a much-needed Savior. They were going through the motions and taking a false comfort. So, what did God say about that? In Isaiah chapter 1, He said, "The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to meet with me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them." That's what God said. And that's what He says to anyone today who thinks it's enough to go through the motions of church with their ears and heart closed. To people like that, people satisfied with their own righteousness, the pew will be a pretty hard place. It will be almost as hard as your hard heart if you think that just showing up for church and going through the motions is enough to make you feel good. If you don't feel a need for a regular Bible-based worship service, then any comfort you feel is temporary, and it won't last forever. As I said earlier, what sense does it make to go to church simply to go through the motions? Why get all cleaned up? Why put on nice clothes? Why get in the car and drive? Why sit in a wooden pew? Why go through the ritual? Why do all that if you're simply going through the motions? That doesn't make any sense to me. Last April, the Chicago Sun-Times reprinted a piece written by the Reverend Sidney Lyng of Dublin, Ireland. It's entitled, 10 Reasons Why I Never Wash. The article isn't about washing. It's a parody of excuses people give for not going to church. Let me read some of the 10 Reasons Why I Never Wash. I used to wash, but it got boring, so I stopped. I'm still young. When I'm older and have gotten a bit dirtier, I might start washing. People who wash are hypocrites. They reckon they are cleaner than other people. I still wash on special occasions, like Christmas and Easter. And one final reason for, quote, not washing: people who make soap are only after your money. To me, going to church is a most practical thing to do. It's the most precious opportunity of the week, an opportunity I never miss, unless, of course, I'm sick or unable to get to worship. Attentive worship can give repentant families the comfort of ending quarrels. It gives you the comfort of trusting that God is present in your afflictions and God will bless you. It gives you the comfort of sins forgiven and guidance and strength for living a holier life in the days ahead. It gives you the opportunity to hear, week after week after week, that Jesus Christ was sacrificed for your sins. Your every wrong was forgiven by that one perfect sacrifice upon the cross. The cross was not a comfortable place for Christ to be. But the message of the cross makes your church pew very comfortable. If you're able, I invite you to come to church. Amen.